Canto 20. It's Book 1, Canto 20. I must make new matter and new verses from the pain of those in these depths, where the floor's a lake of anguished tears I stare at tight with strain. Seeing them come along the valley's curve, these silent people weeping at the pace of worldly litanies, I needed nerve even to notice there below each face the twist between the upper chest and chin. The head faced the behind, and thus they came reversed so as to see in front. If in some case of palsy it had been the same, a man turned right around, I have not seen such things, nor do I think they can be true. So God grant, reader, you yourself should glean fruit from your reading, and think how I knew to keep dry cheeks when I saw from close by the human form so twisted that its eyes could bathe with tears its rearward cleft. And I wept indeed, held up in my surprise by one rock of the ridge. My escort said, "You're witless as the rest. Here pity dwells, but only when it's absolutely dead. Who is more guilty than he who by spells and mysteries make it seem as if divine judgment were subject to his will? Raise, raise your head. The earth, like a collapsing mine, once opened up beneath this one in days of old. The Thebans saw it, shouting, 'Where do you rush off to, Amphiaraus? Why do you quit the fight and take the air?' A question he did not stay to discuss, but plunged straight down till he was in the care of Minos, who looks after everyone. See how his shoulders make a breast, he that would see so far ahead and now is spun, if he would reach what he is looking at, around to see behind while he goes back towards his front. And see the soothsayer, Tiresias, who gave two snakes a crack with his staff for their coupling. But they were revenged when all his features changed from male to female. He, transformed in every part, must strike again those twined snakes without fail before he could resume his manly art. And backed up to his paunch is Aaron's. 'Hail Caesar,' the entrail said, which came to be. In the hills of Luni, where the ground is tilled by those who come up from Carrara, he once had a cave, as if it had been drilled through the white marble, and from there his view of sea and stars was boundless. And look there, at her whose breasts have been concealed from you by her long hair thrown back, and her short hair is also at the back. She is Manto, Tiresias's daughter. Many a land she's searched through. Finally, she chose to go where I was born and settle. Understand, on this you should know some of what I know. After her father died, Thebes had the brand of slave. She roamed the world for many years, high up in Italy, in the foothills of the Alps that fence the Tyrol when it nears the German lands. There Lake Benaco spills 1,000 springs. There could be more by far. Of gathered rain that bathe the Apennines, from Garda south to Valcamonica, and in the center a sweet spot combines, or would combine if they just went that way, the blessings from all pastors out of Trent and Brescia and Verona. To dismay, the Brescians and an army sent from Bergamo, a strong and handsome fort, Peschiera, at the low part of the shore, lies waiting. And there all that can't stay, caught in the bosom of Benaco, forth must pour, and then become a river, flowing down through green fields. Now its name is Mincio, and on it runs as far down as the town called Governolo, and so to the Po. And finally it finds a level, slows, and spreads to make a marsh, in summer more a bog that sometimes violates the nose. Passing that way, the deadly virgin saw land in the fen, untilled, unpeopled. Keen to shun all human concourse, there she stayed with her assistance, which could only mean she'd found the place to ply her arts. She laid her bones there. Afterwards, from all around, the people gathered, for that spot was strong, the bog on every side, and on that ground and those dead bones that searched the world so long, they built the city. And from her who first picked out its place, they gave the place a name. They called it Mantua, to slake all thirst for augury. It rests upon her fame. There used to be more people there before that prize dupe Casalodi let his clan be tricked away by Pinamonte. More, much more of how my city's life began there is to tell you. But for now, that much will serve to arm you against false reports. And I said, Master, this account holds such assurance for me, and so meets my thoughts, all others would be embers, but now teach of these that pass. Of which ones have I read? Such is the satisfaction I beseech. Then he, the one whose beard contrives to spread across his swarthy shoulders from his cheeks, was augur for a Greece devoid of males, even in cradles. Therefore his name speaks, along with that of Calchas, for the sails launched by the cable cut in Aulis. Yes, Eurypylus, the very one. I sing of him in my high tragedy. But less of that now, for you know it, the whole thing. That other one, so skimpy in the loins, was Michael Scott, named for his land of birth. He knew the game of disappearing coins. Guido Bonatti, whose star charts were worth their weight in gold, which his duke gladly paid. Asdente, toothless soothsayer, said sooth he'd sooner now have forgone, like his teeth, and made more shoes his trade and only truth. And see those wretched women stream beneath who gave up needle, shuttle, distaff, thread, and turned to telling fortunes, brewing spells with herbs and dolls. But come, for Cain's white head of thorn now proves what no black art foretells. With both the hemispheres confined, the waves below Seville shine silver, and last night the moon was round. It's certain your mind saves the memory, which sometimes eased your plight deep in the wood. And so, with much to say, of lawful forecasts, we went on our way.